afternoon and welcome to Indeed, the independent podcast about independent wrestling. Mm-hmm. I'm Mike Hamley, here as always with my awesome co-host, Righteous Reg. How you doing, man?
It's me, your boy, Righteous Reg, media man, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster. I'm having a great day, man. It's a beautiful day outside. Pro wrestling is going crazy as always. There's never not a giant amount of things to talk about. So life is what life is. I'm stoned and I'm ready to talk about some wrestling.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. That's it. It's been a crazy week. So many shows happened over the weekend. There was
too much,
man. We had GCW go to England. Mm-hmm. Prestige had this amazing show we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
Lucha Brothers put something on. Republic of Lucha had a show that's their thing. Man, just a whole lot of stuff going on.
Busy, really, busy, man.
If you want to, if you want to still call the ROH titles independent titles, we saw a new ROH champion last night.
I have thoughts. I have questions. I have answers. Ring of Honor. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to breathe.
Yeah.
Shout out to Fabulous, who was also on the show. Breathe. I'm going to breathe last night. I'm going to breathe today because that's crazy. But yes, independent wrestling is hot. There's things going on all over the place. There's tournaments being announced. There's new championships. There's new champions. There's people all over the world tearing it up every single day. People making a name for themselves, like in that England GCW show, like all the people from out there were like, they had something to prove. They were like really going for it. And that's what I love about, that's why we cover independent wrestling, is because like, even if they came today and filtered out all the great independent wrestlers right now and signed them to AEW and WWE and Impact and wherever else you need to be signed, there's going to be a whole new cycle of people that come right in that are just as hot, just as good, just on the next level, going to be going. It's never ending. There's a endless amount of great professional wrestlers, and we get to see them on display everywhere. It's amazing.
Hell yeah. The English people, like the English folks you're talking about, that like we saw Joe Lando come over here and do some GCW shows, but like this was like a North American audience getting to see this stuff on Fight TV, and it's like, right. Oh, okay. So here are some of these names where you might have only like heard about them, like, you know, you see a tweet about them like being announced on a show or something, or, you know, like when the little bit of Brit wrestling crosses through the timeline. But otherwise, you know, or maybe it's like a gif here or there, but getting to see them have like full matches with names that we're all familiar with from following the independent scene over here. Yeah, man. Like,
that's great.
Leon Slater is going to take over wrestling one day.
Oh, God. Thank God. When I see a prospect like Leon Slater, Mike, the things, the feelings, the emotions that I get just knowing this guy's only 17. This is the beginning. It's exactly how we talk about Indeed favorite Nick Wayne. It's exactly like, it's like, wait, he's already like this and he's a teenager. This is crazy. You could imagine the possibilities, what's going to happen. The upward trajectory this guy already has, the way that he hits spots that we've seen hit for a long time, but his added flair of having 17-year-old legs that haven't been through hell yet, that are just fresh out of fucking puberty at this point, and just being able to excel like you just couldn't imagine. It's amazing, man. I can't wait to see him do his thing. I'm sure he's going to be booked over here in the US very soon, because the things that he's done, it seems like only in the last 3 weeks, like every weekend it's been like, yo, have you guys heard about this guy? Like a couple people told me about him, a few weeks ago. And then it seems like, but the last couple weeks, every weekend, he's been the one, just been like the name that it's been fresh on my mind. So shout out to Leon Slater. What a prospect.
Absolutely, man. Shout out to our Tea and Tights podcast here on Body Slam, because they keep messaging me all the time on Twitter, and they're like, man, you got to check out this wrestler or this promotion stuff. So I was like, all right, you know what? They were really putting over the RevPro anniversary shows to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm going to check it out. Fine.
Oh, that's right. You did check those shows.
And I signed up for RevPro on demand, and they were like, wait till you see Mike Bailey versus Leon Slater on day two. And that's when I messaged you right away, and I'm like, holy fuck, this Leon Slater kid. It's like, Swanton 450. What the fuck? He box jumped the guardrail.
Right. Like, crazy.
The way he gets, like, height on anything he does that's an aerial move, like, the only person I can even think to compare it to is, like, Dante Martin is the only other person who gets, like, that kind of hang time on everything he does. And since we're fucking putting him over so hard right now, we might as well, because big shocker, both of our GIF of the week this week happen to be Leon Slater clips.
Leon Slater acting like Commander this week with the double GIFs of the week.
Literally acting like Commander too, like the shit he's doing. He's
And literally acting like him in the ring too. Yes.
Yeah. So this would be the first one we have up is your GIF of the week. It is him. Clearing the whole, you know, just a corner ring post over the guardrail.
Just like an easy one, easy one all the way out of here, flying over the guardrail. Something we've seen before, but like acceleration, height, timing, all the things. Like, how is my question? That's pretty much all I like. How did you do it? How do you do it? Why can't my legs do that?
Yeah. So we have acceleration, height, timing, and then in my clip of the week, distance.
This is ridiculous. This is
like the I know it's a square ring, so like, you know, we don't have some, but it's still longer going diagonal.
Whatever it is, it's insane. It's crazy. I remember because that spot is based off what Rob Van Dam did. I remember the first time he was talking about debuting the Van Terminator, which is kind of derivative of that. That move is a derivative of that. It was talked about in there. I was already like hardcore into the internet, the message boards, everything that's going on. So there was this buzz. RVD has this new move, and like, you can't really get the feeling because they're described like, oh, he gets a drop kick from this ring, from one ring, one corner to the other. And you're like, what is that even? Like, your brain can't process it. And then you see it happen and he does it and you're like, oh my God. And then that move becomes like that's a spot that's, that is like he changed the world when he hit that spot. Like when Shane McMahon started hitting the spot at WrestleMania against Vince McMahon. And like, I remember seeing it a bunch of times in like the early CZW, they were ramping it. People were doing like flips with it and stuff. And so the evolution of this move has been insane. It's like, if somebody's going to hit a big spot like that, that's in play. That might be one of them. And so the evolution of that to this 17-year-old kid hitting it from differently than RVD did it from this corner to this corner is like, how do you, I love the game, man. That's it. That's all.
I want to see somebody else like get notorious for doing it. Cause like, I feel like the coast to coast is kind of like, at least to younger fans, especially just associated with Shane McMahon. So
It is. That's his big spot. And like, no, that's RVD, dude. Come on.
Yeah. But like, again, too, with this, it's like the going diagonally across the ring, like down the sides, it's already impressive as fuck.
Yeah.
That's you're jumping across the ring. But now, like, you go diagonal and suddenly you're adding more distance to your trip.
It's crazy.
What the fuck, Leon?
Beautiful.
You're wild. Amazing. Yeah. You're our GIF machine of the week, basically, because, you know, we don't always double up, but when we do, it's usually on some crazy shit like that.
Because we have to, especially from like the same match. It's like usually like we try to mix it up, but it's like, no, you can't mix this up. This is it.
Were they the same match?
Were they? He might have been in a scramble in the first one.
There was the scramble for one of them, and I think mine was from a singles match, but I could be crazy.
Yeah, it could be the scramble, and then he wrestled Blake Christian, right?
Yeah. No, he wrestled. When did he? No,
he had a couple things. There was a lot.
I think he wrestled Blake Christian at Progress on Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, honestly, I don't know. I'm looking through like three cards for this, and I'm like,
Now, there was a lot going on this weekend. Everybody was busy out there.
These shows were crazy, crazy. But another crazy show, the one we're here to talk about, Prestige Roseland. Actually, first, I'll address one thing. We did have it advertised that we were going to have a guest today. Robert Martyr was supposed to be on the show. We had a little scheduling thing happen. So instead, he's going to be here on Monday. We're going to do a special episode on Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Mm-hmm. And it'll just be us shooting the shit with Robert Martyr and not recapping anything. It's all about Rob on Monday.
Exactly. I'm excited to interview Rob. It's been we've been talking about doing something together for a minute, and it's going to come on Monday. It was supposed to happen today, but it's wrestlers, and every time I never until like it's like, all right, we're gonna roll and a wrestler's right here on the screen with me, I never put it past them to have a scheduling thing, and it's never against them because it's always usually for a good cause. It's never just because like, oh, I don't want to do it. It's always because like, oh no, I stumbled into some cool thing, or like I have to work my other job. Like, it's never a problem. If you ever need to reschedule, do it, dude. Like, life's crazy, it moves so fast.
Yeah, it's I've literally had to cancel the show on us last minute for you know, just like random health reasons.
It's, it is,
you
know, no just
like life thing. Happens mm-hmm. life, you know, like life happens, and yeah, trust me, like we'll talk about it on Monday, but what he's doing today, much better than talking to us.
Definitely.
So
super cool. So yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, man, we had him actually opening up the show.
Mm.
Him and Jordan Cruz.
This was good.
This is so good. We've talked about Jordan Cruz on here a bit too. And he like it's just every time I see him, I'm just like, man, he looks like he's getting better and better. Literally, like you can visually see it happening with every match. But what absolute powerhouse. The dude's built like a fucking Terminator.
This is this Jordan Cruz run has been a treat, honestly. When he first when I first saw him as the replacement at West Coast Pro, I had heard a little bit about him. You know, you like he's done some things out. He's been pretty doing his thing out here in California, so I've heard his name. And so to see him in person, and it's hard to come in as a replacement on any show when fans are expecting one thing and then they get another. It's and you're not as known as others, so hard to kind of overcome that. And so he did, though, like just coming in and not caring about that, just coming in and being like, hey, I'm about to get my shit in. That's Jordan Cruz. I don't care about who I'm replacing. I don't care about what happened. Like, this is me right here. See me. I'm good. And he was super, super dope, super lit there. But here, oh, my God, he ramped it up times 100 right here against the homie Robert Martyr. Robert Martyr, I want to talk about a little bit, even though he wasn't. He was supposed to be here.
Fucking ringer's on again. That's my text message tone. My phone just yells bullshit every time.
I'm like, what's going on over here? But no, Robert Martyr, student of the game, legit. Exactly like you said about Jordan Cruz. Every time that we see him, he gets better. He's working hard. If he has time, any free time, he's in the gym with it. Like, it's either working, real life things, you know, families, all that things. But if it's free time, he's in the gym. He's trying to get better. He's trying to improve every single aspect of his game. You could see it in him physically. You could see it when he hits the ring every time. So seeing both those guys who are doing the same exact thing or grinding to up their position in a match together was awesome. They went at it. They threw blows. Robert Martyr tried to wrap his ass up. All the good shit you would expect. Jordan Cruz was just on fire, though. This was one of those, like, no one standing in my way is going to stop me. Like, you could put anybody here, and I'm about to run them over. And that's what Jordan Cruz did right here.
And Martyr, too. Like, there was a my GIF of the week this week almost ended up actually being Martyr powerbombing Jordan Cruz out of the corner. Because Jordan's not a small guy. Like, at all.
He's not.
He's freaking huge. Like,
even the camera, TV doesn't give him justice. Especially if you see him in person, you're like, damn, that's a big guy.
Yeah, he looks like a fucking action figure. And Robert Martyr, like, he powerbombed him. He hit him with his Cactus Kirkler pile driver.
Yeah.
Robert
Martyr's never say die attitude is like the best thing. Like, his heart and just like, you're gonna have to kill me to get this victory is amazing.
I love matches where Robert Martyr's fighting from behind because the way, like, I get so invested in watching him try to scrap his way back from, like, a match where he's, you know, he's not in control. And he just, like, every time he makes a comeback and he starts getting, like, you know, he starts getting hope in the match, I'm just like, I'm into it. I'm like, yes, let's go.
Yeah, it's easy to get behind when he's coming from behind because his heart, it shows, and you can feel his emotion, and you can feel him. It's like he's really fighting back. That's what That's what makes a great pro wrestler. It's like, no, it feels like he's really, he's really trying to win this match, and he's really trying to come back from it. You could feel it in his motions. You could feel it in his moves. You could feel it how he tries to come back in the match. Great, great pro wrestler, man. I'm excited to talk to him on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, didn't get the win here. Jordan Cruz did.
We got to get Jordan Cruz on here, too, running his little run that he's had recently. He's going crazy out there.
Absolutely, man. Also, like, I want to see him, like, get out of California.
Yeah.
I want to see him, like, I want to see him wrestle some dudes in the South. I want to see him wrestle some dudes out in the Northeast, especially out in the Northeast.
Has he had a spot in Wrestling Open?
I'm gonna check right now. Because
I'm like, have I seen his name on there? If not, he's someone that could be going, crazy out there.
No,
on a weekly basis, building his name. I think.
Nope, a lot of it is just, you know, all California FSW. But he also did. He's been to Orlando and for AEW Dark Elevation, and he's he also did AEW Rampage. Hobbs and Starks defeated. They squashed him and someone else in like 45 seconds.
Let's go
on the Rampage in Ontario, California. I was like, I have seen. I was like, I've definitely seen him like on AEW at least, though I remember. Because I saw him before that tag match on Rampage. I was like, oh, that Jordan Cruz guy is really good.
Shout out to him. That's funny. Now it's linking up because, like, after that, he's been going ham after that. So that was probably motivation. Like, I could get to the show, and if I just go a little bit extra, I can be here permanently. So shout out to him for being out there on the grind. I love that.
Oh, yeah. He'd, like, fit in. He'd fit right in on a TV. Holy.
Definitely.
But next up, we had Alan Angels defeat Tyler Bateman. Alan Angels is just fully embracing his inner asshole now.
Yes. What's going on with Alan Angels now. He is going all in on, like, if you guys think I'm this, maybe I am this. How about that? You want to say that I'm one thing? I'm going to do this. I'm going to let you guys know exactly what it is that Alan Angels brings to the table. Mm-hmm. And I think he's fought really hard to get rid of the Five and the Dark Order stigma. And to me, he's already done it. Like, he's already, I don't think about that when I think about him. There's probably a segment of fans that's where their brain goes, but they're always going to be like that because they that's how they function. So, but yeah, he's already shed that thing. And then on top of that, every time that he hits the ring, and hey, he has hit the ring ever since he's been out of AEW, it's been great. He's been doing crazy and great things in West Coast Pro. So I've gotten to see him live, do his thing. And right here against someone who has been a veteran of the independent wrestling scene, also done a lot of work here in California, Tyler Bateman, done some work in Ring of Honor, a hard-hitting guy, someone that if you are going to have a match, this is one of those, like, you better be ready to fight when you get in the ring because Tyler Bateman's coming to whoop your ass. He doesn't really care about the glitz and the glamour. He cares about Tyler Bateman's shit, and he cares about beating ass.
Yeah. Tyler Bateman, like, also, in addition to all the places he's been, the amount of wrestlers he's trained too. Oh. Like, if you think about who some of your favorite wrestlers are, chances are they might have been trained at Tyler Bateman's place.
Yes.
The one that comes to mind the most for me is Brody King. I'm like, and then, like, I see the way Brody beats on people, and I'm just like, yeah, you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. You see exactly where
they tagged a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out to Tyler Bateman. The California wrestling training scene is one of the hottest places you could come if you're a professional wrestler looking for areas and spaces to kind of come and be able to do your thing and learn from some great people and learn to be on the next level. California has a lot of great places. So shout out to Tyler Bateman. He's a great trainer along with, you can see it right here in the ring against Alan Angels. It's probably an easy match in there with Alan Angels because he's a pro too. He knows exactly what needs to be done. He knows exactly where to be. His timing's amazing. He's a great, talented wrestler. I love that he's embracing the heel thing. I love that he's going all in, letting fans know that they don't affect what he does, and they don't affect him getting his money, and they don't affect him winning his championships.
And the amount of different wrestlers too, and like styles that we're seeing Allen Angels get to have these matchups with.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had Tyler Bateman, he had Sonico earlier in the month.
Yeah.
He wrestled Taiji Ishimori on Strong.
Yeah.
That great match at West Coast with Vinny Massaro. Like
That's a multitude of different opponents just right there. Just the couple that you named. And it's great because Allen Angels, you know, being able to be in the position that he was in AEW as five in the Dark Order, being able to get those reps on TV, being able to be in front of different crowds. Now he gets to play the veteran role anytime that, because a lot of those matches, he was playing like the one on top. He was playing like the guy, like, I've been on TV. I'm a star here. I'm this. Like, you guys have to come up to my level. And it's good to be able to see him embrace that fully here.
Yeah, for sure. And again, more Allen Angels. I mean, you can probably count on seeing him like pretty much every Prestige show. They've
definitely
they've been bringing him out regularly. I'm assuming he's got to live on the West Coast.
I want to say he lives here in California because he's been quick. Like he was booked over at he was a replacement at West Coast Pro, and he was like, it was like that day. So like,
yeah,
I mean, something. Yeah. Shout out to him. I'm excited about it because I get to see him locally. And anytime I get to see more great wrestlers locally, great for me.
Oh yeah, he's definitely been around to West Coast Pro like on most of their last shows.
He's at the show this weekend. I'm thinking about driving up to the beach to check it out. I'm thinking about it.
Hey, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Get some of those inside reactions.
Mm-hmm. Always fun.
I don't know. Yeah, you always I've noticed every time you're at one of those shows that you always have a way of like, I don't know if you just know what's gonna happen, but the action always spills out of the ring during a match and always finds its way to within like fucking 15 feet of you.
I have wrestling instincts, honestly. It's like, I know when you could feel when wrestlers are going to move in that direction. I don't know if I don't like plan to be like, okay, I'm going to move over there. It's just like, I just happen to always be in that area. I don't know. I have wrestler energy or something. I don't know.
It's like different spots in the stateroom too. Like you'll be at different places on different shows, and then it's like, oh, I swear, like they're calling the match in the back, and they're like, okay, Reg is over there, so you're gonna jump off of that.
I don't know, man. I love it. It's great. Whatever it is, I want to continue. I love that energy. Keep bringing it over. I love to see a moonsault off of something random with my own eyes right there in front.
Yeah. We had a tag match up next on the Prestige show. Another, you know, speaking of West Coast, we had Jarrell Nelson in here. Tom Lawler's in here. Team Filthy taking on. So this was like storyline match, really. Yeah. We had Atticus Koger and Ricky Shane Page on the other team representing 440, who definitely are on the outs with each other. This is sort of a feud that's transcending one promotion, and it's kind of taking place in a bunch of places now. There was actually a lot of cross promotional like stuff of talking about Circle Six and promoting their show during this match actually too. So yeah, it's cool to see promotions working together like that. I like it. Rising tides, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And Atticus and Ricky Shane and those guys, they like to do things like this. They want stories. They want to tell stories. Like everybody just think, oh, they're just deathmatch guys. They're this and no, they're trying to tell different stories and they're trying to weave and lead through different promotions. If they're booked somewhere together, they're going to utilize that to further all the stories instead of just trying to further what that specific promotion wants.
Also, like, watch the first half of this match before RSP even comes out and see Atticus Koger wrestling against Tom Lawler and Jarrell Nelson, essentially in a handicap match. And tell me he's just a fucking deathmatch guy.
Right. Yeah. No, Tom Lawler.
Not at all.
Yeah. No, Tom Lawler doesn't give any breaks. If you're in a match with Tom Lawler, it's a fight. And that's exactly what it was. So imagine being in a handicap match for a little bit with Tom Lawler and somebody else. And Jarrell Nelson himself is not a slouch. Nope. He is a strong motherfucker. So it was a battle.
Yeah, man. And like, that's the thing that's my biggest takeaway from this match, honestly, is like the story stuff. Yeah, obviously, like, okay, RSP and Atticus are probably going to have a, you know, big gnarly match for the Circle Six title at some point. But my biggest takeaway from this was like, Atticus Koger is a good wrestler. Like, yes, he looks, he, man, you know, and again, like, this is why labeling people as just deathmatch guys and stuff like that, you know, it's, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. It's, you know, it, in order to be a good deathmatch wrestler, you still have to be a good wrestler at the end of the day.
Boom. There you go. That's exactly what it is. If you're a great deathmatch wrestler, there's something attached to that. You're not just a great deathmatch wrestler. That's not how this works. It's not how any of this works.
Yeah. Can't say it any better than that. Taya Valkyrie wrestled Dark Sheik.
Yes, shout out to my friend Dark Sheik. I love her. She's the best. Taya Valkyrie is on one of those unstoppable runs where everywhere she goes, she's dominating. She knows that, she knows her worth in every single position. And in the ring, she is showing it. And she showed it here against Dark Sheik. Dark Sheik always brings like a very exciting energy to every match that she's in. It's like, I can't really explain it, but everywhere she goes, the crowd loves her. And that energy just comes across. And you want Sheik to win every time. But like I said, Taya's on one of those runs right now where she just like, nothing can stop her. She wants to be the champion of every promotion that she's in. She doesn't care which promotion it is. She doesn't care what championship it is. She wants to be world champion. She wants to be women's champion. She wants to be all the champions. And it's showing here in these matches. I'm loving it, man. Prestige is doing something. We just kind of went into it. Prestige is doing some really great things out here on the West Coast. And even expanding, they announced very recently that they're going to be a part of that big, the New Year's. It's like a New Year's.
Restival.
Yeah, Restival. They're going to be a part of that. They're expanding out there.
Mark Cyrus says Ty is on a whole nother level right now.
Ty is going crazy, Mark, honestly. Yeah, every single promotion in Mexico and here in the U.S., she is just dominating, and you could see it. I love, like, when you could just feel the energy of, like, I'm in my zone right now, and that's the energy that Ty is giving up right now.
Yeah, fun fact about this match is it was Ty's second match of the day. Because this was the same day as that Republic of Lucha Dolores show, and she actually wrestled Lady Flamer like 2 hours before this match, and then drove to Pomona from wherever Republic of Lucha is, which I'll Google it.
Los Angeles area, there's traffic you have to factor in. That always sucks.
If it's in South Pasadena. I don't know how far South Pasadena and Pomona are from each other.
They're not... Like, I just wrestled a match and I want to sit in a car and drive to that place and do another match. It's not like 5 minutes away. There, it's some time. It takes a lot to get into different. Not only, you know, first you have to think about the match that you're currently in that she had at the Lucha show. Think about everything that happens with that. And then immediately forget about all that. Get all your stuff. Hop in a car. Go figure out another match with a different person doing a whole bunch of different things.
Completely different style and everything.
Everything is different. The whole match is different. The whole way. You can't just be like, hey, I did a match earlier. Let's just do that again. No, you can't. It's totally have to do something else. And so Taya, an incredible lady, incredible, talented person. People should strive to dominate the industry like Taya does.
Hell yeah. And then we got an AC Mac independent wrestling world title match.
Independent wrestling gods, thank you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's his Prestige Wrestling debut here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he wrestled Sonico, the ace of Prestige Wrestling.
Might be his West Coast debut. Has he been here before? I can't. Maybe once, but I'm not sure. It could be his entire West Coast debut, Prestige. And exactly like I always said about AC Mac, I want to say this, promoters are ever watching this. If you book AC Mac, when he enters the ring, put the microphone in his hand. That's how you start the show. If you want, if AC Mac is coming to a new area, some people in the crowd might not know who he is. If he's new to anybody in the building, soon as he enters the ring, give him the mic because he's going to give the reason to be invested in the match. And he does it almost better than anyone in wrestling. He does it every single time. It's like, okay, the crowd is maybe not knowing. And then as soon as he grabs the mic, it's over because he's an incredibly talented person. when it comes to the mic skills. And he did it here. As soon as he had the mic, I was like, thank you. Perfect. That's how you get it. That's how you do it. And he's against a prestige favorite, so he had to make sure these people know to get behind your favorite. But like, in the end, it's going to be over for you.
Sonico does not often lose singles matches at prestige wrestling. Mm-mm. So, like, yeah, this is... They called him on the broadcast repeatedly. He's the ace of prestige wrestling. Like,
yep.
AC Max coming in here and beating the big dog.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, yeah, this is a hell of a match. I'm excited seeing AC Mac doing his little traveling with the belt now.
I'm loving it. We've been waiting for this. You know, they were doing the thing.
Yeah, Uncharted Territories. Yeah, now, so like,
yeah, they were doing the thing. We liked it. It was great. I loved everything that went on with it. But now it's time to see that independent wrestling championship really get some prestige, no pun intended, added onto it, having him travel across the U.S., just defending that thing. And selfishly, I just want to see him, if he's defended in more places, eventually he's going to be defending it somewhere I'm at. So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be so fun. It would be, there's a ton of people at West Coast that I would love to see.
So many.
AC Mac. Mm-hmm. Mr. Alexander.
Yes.
Mr. Oh, Starboy. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Titus might really 100% earn him a shot at this rate going with what he's doing. Though. So, yeah. But, yeah, Sonico's awesome. AC Mac is incredible. This match was great. I love seeing AC Mac on the West Coast being able to do exactly what AC Mac is. 100% Mac out there showing you exactly why he's been the independent wrestling champion for so long and showing why there's not a lot of, I mean, like, who's going to be up to defeat this guy? He's been on a hell of a run.
I have a prediction on that. I'll put it out here in the air now. But there is a huge, you mentioned it earlier about prestige wrestling being involved. Mm-hmm. But there is a huge independent wrestling collective weekend kind of being held called Restival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being held at the White Eagle in Worcester, Massachusetts, the home of both Wrestling Open and Beyond Wrestling.
I know what's going on here. I see what's going on here.
What better place for Alec Price to dethrone AC Mac than at Restival?
I know exactly where we were going
at
here.
The Beyond show at Restival. Mm-hmm. That would be like the whole fucking roof would explode off of that place.
That's a culmination right there. Yeah, you got it. I think you got it.
I pray for this moment. It's
You've been thinking about this.
I kind of, well, because like again, like Alec Price has been.
No, you've been telling me about Alec Price being the one to dethrone Mac for a minute.
Well, if you just look at his entire run this year of everyone he's wrestled, he's like, if you can just name random, like, you know, top 50, top 100 independent wrestlers, and chances are Alec Price has had a match with him at some point this year, maybe even multiple matches. He's wrestled literally everybody you can, like, to the point where, and I brought this up last week, he's got the most matches out of anyone that doesn't work for Dragon Gate in the entire world, per cage match.
We were watching a tag team tournament show last week, and he was on the show and not a tag team match.
So yeah, like,
he's a wonder person. He's everywhere.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, yeah, I'll come up and wrestle Evil Uno on this day. And, like, that's another thing for me now. That's, like, the amount of AEW-centric people that he's wrestled with, I feel like...
It's a sign.
Like, he had a fantastic match with Blitzkrieg against Ethan Page it was, like, a mall show.
Mm-hmm.
He's wrestled Evil Uno now in Canada. He's had that Ortiz match. He's, you know, the whole pull-apart thing. He's actually wrestling Ortiz on Wrestling Open, I think, tonight.
Yeah.
That's having a rematch.
That's what's up. Shout out to them.
It's either tonight or it's coming up. I definitely saw a tweet about it. I can't remember the date exactly. It doesn't matter. I'll watch tonight and find out. But so I feel like, you know, there's other things that are eventually going to be coming his way. So, like, if he's going to, you know, if he is going to run around with the IWTV title probably sooner than later.
I agree. He's on the trajectory to do it. Yeah. And that doesn't sound like there could be a better place than what you just described there. So that's going to be a big weekend. Everybody's going to be in tune. The crowd's going to be nuts. He's been building his stock there in that place. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And then back to the Prestige show.
Yes.
My favorite match of the night was up next. Trisha Dora versus Miyu Yamashita.
Just looking on paper, this was like, that's the match. And then you watch the show and you're like, oh, that's the match. Yeah, we all agree.
I'm like, I can't put the words. I can't come up with the words that I want. Normally, like, talking isn't a problem for me. It's everything I wanted it to be.
It's like Trisha Dora. There is something about her. There's her charisma. There's when she enters a room, you know something is up. And the way that she works matches, this was the match you knew was going to hit because the way that she works and the way that she does her thing and a perfect opponent to have.
Perfect matchup.
And so the way that it built and the way that they hit suplexes on each other and kicked each other and all the things, the crowd just being so behind everything and the intensity. This match needs to be seen by everyone, honestly.
Yeah, if you're trying to decide what's the free match from this show that we're gonna put up on YouTube, this is the one. This is the hey, check out what's going on here, Prestige. Look at us bringing one of the top international talents from the world in to have a match with one of the best independent wrestlers in North America. They fucking went out there, tore it up.
Miyu can be put into any position and knock it out of the park. So you want to see all your favorite wrestlers being able to get a chance to wrestle her, especially here in America, just to like kind of get a feel of like, you always want to know if your favorites would work in Japan. And so to see them against a top talent in Japan and be like, oh yeah, that's it, is amazing to be able to just see and reassure yourself.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We could send. Yeah. Trish could go over for an excursion. Absolutely. And she'd have a field day over there.
It's like having a demo tape. Like, would I work in Japan? Yeah, here it is right here. Here it is, seeing it right here with your eyes. So we hope to see Trish take this, what she did here, and expand it. And Trish is still super young in the game. She works like a veteran, but she hasn't really been here for a super long time. She's an incredible talent. She's very high on the. She was number one on the Black Wrestling's 500 last year for a reason. She's continuing it here, and I'm loving every match that she has. Is amazing, and to add this match to her catalog, perfect.
Yeah, tearing it up everywhere. Actually, one of my favorite Alec Price matches this year was Alec Price and Trisha Dora at Enjoy. They had. Like, she almost had him. I thought she was getting the win. I was like, yeah, all right. they did me wrong on it. I wanted it.
Your boy's on the rise, man. Your boy's on the rise.
I know. Tom Talk Travis is popping by to say, what's up, my favorite dudes? What's up, Tom?
What's going on, doing Tom? Good, dude. Yeah, shout out to Tom.
Had a prestige title match up next. Alex Shelley came out. Had no idea who his opponent was going to be.
Another one of my favorites.
Calvin Tankman.
Tank. Big, angry, hardcore motherfucker right here. Calvin Tankman. One of the baddest pro wrestlers in the fucking world. Contrast of styles, honestly. Obviously, with Alex Shelley here. One of the best professional wrestlers in the history of professional wrestling, if we're talking about it. Prestige title match. All the elements. Tankman is just like, there's a strategy to wrestle Tankman, and Alex Shelley knows all the strategies. So of course, like if there's a strategy, there's a strategy for any wrestling match in history. He's figured it out already. So, I mean, I guess he's kind of the perfect guy to wrestle Tankman because he knows everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Alex Shelley, you can tell he's like, you know, he wrestles people like he knows the human body for a living. Mm-hmm. Like he picks apart people's limbs and he knows how to bring a big person down to the ground. Like he does. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to talk about how good Alex Shelley is. People have been doing that for decades now.
So long now. And it still rings true. Like he might, I hate better than ever, but yo, like I haven't seen every time I've seen him in the last year or however long he's been back from his thing.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one bad match yet. He's knocking him out the park in GCW randomly. He's knocking him out the park. Still in Impact. Back with Chris Sabin doing Motor City Machine Guns. What's up? Like, he's on fire.
Like, that's been one of the coolest parts about 2022 for me. Is like, I've seen Motor City Machine Guns wrestle like current day tag teams on shows, and it's just,
I saw him wrestle live. Yay me. West Coast Pro again, man. We're just going to keep saying it. I know. West Coast Pro, you guys, I know. That's my people. That's my promotion. I love them. They do everything for me. I got to see the Motor City Machine Guns with my own eyes against the West Coast Wrecking Crew, and it was awesome.
Yeah. And actually, funny enough, so we're talking about Calvin Tankman. We're talking about Trish Adora.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here on Indeed, where we talk about independent wrestling shows. Next week on our... So on Monday, we have Robert Martyr. It's just Robert Martyr.
Yep.
But next week on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
we still have our regular episode where we're going to be recapping a show that we decided to watch this week. We already decided. We're watching Black Label Pro Turbo Graps. That tournament looks ridiculous.
It's crazy.
But they also announced this week, Calvin Tankman will be defending the Black Label Pro Championship against the Afro-Punk Trish Adora.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to eat it all up. It's going to be everything I had hoped for and everything I dreamed about. Everything we just said about both those people, we just talked about both of their matches against each other. Imagine everything we said, bringing them two elements against each other. Calvin Tankman doesn't take it easy on anybody. When he feels like he's angry when he doesn't get the level of talent he feels like he deserves. He'll say it in his match, like, this is the talent you guys give me. He doesn't care about anything. He's in there to win matches and win championships. He's going to hit his Tankman driver on Trish Adora just like he hit it on Alex Shelley. There'll be no difference. And Trish Adora is going to bring every single thing that she has to the match, plus more, her elements, her fight from behind. She has that Robert Martyr mentality, too, of like, if she's fighting from behind, you're like, yo, I need Trish Adora to win this match so bad. So that added in against the killer, crazy, scary mentality of Calvin Tankman, makings of a classic.
Yeah, Calvin Tankman aims to hurt people. Like not actually, of course, everyone's, I mean, you know, everyone's a safe match, but like, you want, like, Calvin Tankman looks like he's just out there to hurt people.
Mm-hmm, that's and, it. Sometimes, like, it's like, I think that could possibly be his downfall. I don't know. Some matches he's too intense on just like murdering and taking someone's head off. And he could just like, maybe. Out. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of the times that's happened, he's just been like so focused on getting the finish instead of just like trying to pin that person.
Yeah, Trish Adora, like, that's what a matchup, though. Like, it's because, like, Tankman's a big guy, but Trish Adora has power.
She does.
Like,
she's wrestled some big guys like Tankman before. It's not going to be her first rendezvous out here with this, so tough matchup.
It's going to take a lot of lariats to take that man down, though.
Too many.
Yeah. another fantastic woman we love talking about here on the show, though. Sandra Moon was up next on the Proceed show, and she got to wrestle the cutest in the world, Maki Ito. Again, Prestige is, I love how much Joshi talent they bring in.
Yep.
And it's like, it's not like a one-off thing. They've done it several times this year already. But the matchups that we end up getting out of it, Sandra Moon, what a matchup for her. I'm sure she's probably had a blast in there. Like, I don't know how.
That's what I'm saying. Like, shout out to the wrestlers being able to have dream matches. Like, and you didn't, you don't have to go to Japan. You just have to go to Pomona, California, the Glass House, and you get to wrestle something you probably dreamed of for a couple of years now. And you get to have amazing matches. You get to have bangers, and we get to see it ourselves. And Sandra Moon is another great up and coming, heart filled, you just want to see her win, fighting from behind. Prestige, they have a lot of talented people that are like that. I love the direction that they're taking with all the talent. It's a great time for them.
It's engaging matches. Like, you look through the entire card on this show, and it's like,
that's a great way to describe it.
I bought into like every story they were telling on the on this entire card, and you know, especially when we get to the main event, obviously like that, but like all throughout, it was it's like a highlight of watching the show for me. Is like, oh man, I was like, I felt rewarded with like great wrestling, but also with like I'm invested in it too, like.
See, that is amazing. Especially, I think a lot of independent wrestling companies fight for that feeling, because it's like we all are doing matches, but like, what's gonna connect this match, just this match in a vacuum without anything else of it? Like, what's so great about Sonico and AC Mac? What's gonna bring me to like that? What's so great about Sandra Moon and Maki Ito? Well, there's a lot of, if you think for a little bit, like Sandra's on a tear against these amazing wrestlers. She's been getting put into great positions. Maki Ito is one of the top talented women in not just Japan, in the world. Like, she sought out, when people get her matches, they're amazed by it. And just that story's there. And then the wrestlers are so talented, they're able to tell the stories when the bell rings too, which is another very important element, because we like moves. I'm Spot Fu. I love Supreme Spot Fu. I love that shit. But to be able to tell cool stories when wrestling is filled with crazy shit is perfect for an independent wrestling company.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. You mentioned the venue too, the Glass House. Like, one, they had that place packed out. It was wild in there.
Every time they've been in there, it's been packed. Yeah, yeah. They do. That's a they do a lot of music. That's like a music venue. They do a lot of things there. So to be able to see a wrestling company there is pretty good.
Yeah, like that's actually where I was headed with this, funny enough, is like it's no secret. I'm like I live a listening to a lot of punk and metal lifestyle. And the amount of live videos I've watched on YouTube,
right,
like bands, and it's like live at the Glass House in Pomona, California. And I'm like I know this venue already. So hearing that they had it, like, you know, hearing the Prestige had, you know, was been having shows there, and I watched them. I'm just like, this is super fucking cool, because like I'm literally sitting there listening to Jordan Castle and James Kincaid sitting there doing commentary on a stage where like I might have been watching like a Transplants concert from like 15 years ago or some shit.
Right. Yeah. It's awesome. I love history like that.
And instead it's like, no, well, there's a commentary booth up there and your favorite independent wrestlers are walking out, and the stage is like, they're, you know, they're walking out on the stage and hopping into the ring. And
Alan Angels is going to try to flip off that stage that you seen that show.
Oh man. I can't remember, like, Takeshita and Lee Moriarty, and like Lee getting spiked on that stage was like, that is not what I'm used to seeing happen in this venue.
A lot of histories went down here. A lot of guitars and bass have been played there, but I don't think too many people have been spiked on this damn stage like that.
Not a lot of folks getting dropped on their heads at the Glass House. That usually happens from like diving off the stage.
Right. I mean, you know, during them punk shows, it might could have happened. We couldn't.
Yeah.
There's some crazy shit do be going down there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I've been dropped once or twice crowd surfing. Terrible feeling.
Right. Terrible feeling. You're pretty much powerbombed out of midair without wanting to.
Right. It's my own fault. I'm 6.5 feet tall. I have no business being like, hey, can you all just pass me around like this?
Yeah.
No, I'm
doesn't usually work.
Yeah, no, we gotta put height restrictions on shit like that. But yeah, we mentioned the main event for this show earlier, talking about great storytelling and matches, and this match felt like cinematic, like I was watching a movie, like a story was being told to me. It was as much a wrestling match as it was like, well, it was a wrestling match, but there was just so much going on here with Kid Bandit and Malakai Black. In the last time we're going to see Malakai Black for probably a while.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a while. That's pretty much where we're going to land in it. Kid Bandit is great at this, at telling stories in their match. They've done some really cool things in some smaller independent promotions. And so to be able to, I knew that Kid Bandit was going to do something special with this one. I told you last week, I saw on Reddit that they did like an AMA, and they were just pretty much like, help me with this Malakai Black match. Like, this is a big deal to me. And the things that you could just tell to the build up to this match that Kid Bandit was super excited about what they were going to be able to do in this match. And so to be able to, we just love underdog stories like that. We just love someone to be able to get to have their dream again. We talked about this a lot in this match, but like Prestige is giving up dream matches to people, and to be able to see them unfold and to tell a story like this. And Kid Bandit, you just like, well, Kid Bandit is definitely fighting from behind. Anybody's going to be fighting from behind with Malakai Black. Like, you could be the top person in the world, and if Malakai Black's on the other side of that ring, it's not going to be an easy day for you.
No. And yeah, the storytelling again was just like, this was, so this was billed as the final boss battle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was
hell of a final boss.
I don't know if that was like Kid Bandit's idea or Will's idea, but also shout out to Will for putting these shows together, doing incredible work. But yeah, this being billed as the final boss battle, it was like, you could actually see that play out throughout the match of Kid Bandit is timid and like, you know, hesitant to even want to engage Malakai, and Malakai is being this like looming, massive, dark, brooding figure that is, you know, like, it felt like Kid Bandit is fighting for their life in this. It was it's on IWTV. Watch it, please. Everybody.
Please watch it. Please watch it. To be able to, it's like the Nick Wayne and Ospreay match. Mm-hmm. Like, to be able to see someone get like a dream, like they dreamed of this moment, and to execute and to do, to play their part of that dream so well, you have to see it with your own eyes. There's some matches that we could describe on here for you from the bell to bell, but like, if you see it with your own eyes, you see the story being told, you see the excitement and everybody in the crowd and the energy that's just looming over the ring. Some things you have to see yourself.
That's actually the other, so like, I was kind of thinking about this earlier today, and it was actually for a completely different other reason. Mm-hmm. But there's been a handful of matches this year that are, you know, they're kind of like that dream match where you're almost watching somebody like wrestle their counterpart or like a younger mirrored version of themselves in a way. This Malakai and Kid Bandit match, like just with the juxtaposition of it, almost felt like a battle of light and dark.
Yep.
And then you mentioned Will Ospreay and Nick Wayne, which is basically like a mirror match, almost, with, you know, just like some age, you know, like the, you know, just opposite age spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And another match that had a similar vibe, and it's because I was doing some research, was I was watching Robert Martyr and Davey Richards.
Oh yeah,
from Garden State earlier this year, and that was another match where I'm like, this is like it's like watching Davey wrestle like, like, you know, 21-year-old Davey almost.
Exactly. Yep. Got it 100% right.
And so I was kind of like trying to think of more matches like that earlier today, and like both of these matches ended up kind of popping up in that conversation. And if you can think of any more of them, like, you know, leave them in the chat or pop them in the comments later if you happen to not be watching this live. I don't know if there's any that you can think
of. Robert Martyr and Davey Richards, that's a really good one. That's a really good one. I don't know, I can't think of any off my head, but that one, like, yeah, that one's great, because, like, that's young Davey Richards. Yeah, everything that 21 Davey Richards, young Davey Richards thought in the process of putting together a wrestling match, executing a wrestling match, the way that a wrestler should carry themselves, everything about it is Robert Martyr. So yeah, that's awesome.
But back to our main event here. Obviously, we have Malakai Black winning this match. I don't think the Glass House could handle it if Kid Bandit won this match.
You can't. You have, you know, we knew what was going on here. It's a great showcase for Kid Bandit at the end of the day.
When I never get hopeful for any indie talent when I see that they're wrestling somebody that's like either contracted to AEW or like just recently left, you know, or something like that. Like, Alan Angels takes some losses here now and stuff, but you know, like, he's also building his way up too. Like, he's on the climb up with something fantastic right now that we're nowhere close to the peak of where that's going.
Right.
But
exactly.
But you know, like Malakai Black, you know, versus Kid Bandit, obviously, like, you know,
it's different.
It's the same as watching like Evil Uno versus Alec Price. I'm like, you know, I'd believe very much that Alec Price could beat Evil Uno in a wrestling match, but like I know there's just no shot it's happening.
That's pretty much it. Sometimes it's like there's a rare occasion where it's like they might be able to, but it's so rare that you just know what's going on, and no one's ever really mad about it.
Yeah, which brings me to a topic I wanted to talk to you about, because as much as this is an independent show, something that happened on TV last week kind of might actually play into like that outcome a little more. But like, mm-hmm. you know, the independent wrestler generally is not winning, but like, especially if it's to a champion.
Mm-hmm.
And Jon Moxley won the AEW World Championship last night. And he's got a career versus title match for the GCW World Championship against Nick Gage. And I'm pretty sure that's in like that's
October 8th.
Yeah, that's in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about old Gagey boy over there. That's a big, this is that just you can't.
And I'm pretty sure that match was booked when Jon Moxley was definitely not the AEW World Champion.
No.
So, or there was at least no indication that he would be by this point in time.
This match is like a year in the making. Like, this is a young, it's a
yeah,
long.
Yeah, this was, yeah, Moxley. Well, Moxley beat Gage. Like, he beat Cardona at Art of War Games the year prior. Mm-hmm. They had Fight Club last October as well. Jon Moxley versus Nick Gage. Moxley defeated Gage in a gnarly ass death match.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he's been showing up in GCW every couple months to defend the title, which, you know, though, I this is something that Kevin brought up on one of Kevin Gill brought up on one of the interviews we've done with him, but because like Moxley defending the title there every like 3 months or so, it's kind of like, oh, but don't you want to see the world title get defended there more often? And mm-hmm. although I do, the cards they put together, it's almost like you forget they have a world title because
right.
so much dope shit happens there anyway on a week, on like a weekly or bi-weekly basis, that it's like you almost don't need the world title match.
Yeah, but you want it though.
I fall on both sides of the coin mm-hmm. on this one, where it's like, yeah, they do a lot of dope shit, so like I guess I don't need the world title match, but at the same time, it's like every time they announce Moxley, I'm like, holy fuck.
Right. It's like they haven't had a bad show to me in like 4 years. It's re- like it's been a long time mm-hmm. where I've been like, damn, that show at most it's like, oh, that wasn't the greatest, but that's compared to their own shows, you know?
Yeah, like you haven't walked out of a GCW show asking Brett Lauderdale for your $35 back.
Never, not one time. I've never even thought about it. And so it's like the shows always hit, but imagine if every one of those shows that did hit, the exclamation point was a world title match. It'd be like,
yeah, it would put like, it would, I agree. It would put like even more shows just over the top that exactly. are already great, but
it's like, that's yeah, great, but you can enter into another level. If like at the end of it, it was a great GCW title match. And then that's just, somebody would have been built up that whole time. Imagine if somebody's been, imagine if somebody for the last year was defending at every GCW show. Imagine how high the stock of the championship and that person would be of just being constantly attached to these amazing shows.
Well, see, I do feel like that's coming now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I
definitely.
I don't think Mox is going to have that belt for, if he does take it into 2023, he's losing it pretty early in the year.
Right.
But
he needs to be losing a Nick Gage, but I mean,
this is another one where like there's two scenarios I have for this match. And one is Nick Gage wins the GCW world title. And then it's like, okay, well, yeah, that's actually somebody that there's not a lot of people that I see in GCW where I'm like, I can see them like, you know, like Moxley is superhuman, mm-hmm. you know, fight through anything. Mm-hmm. So there's a small list of people on the roster where I'd be like, yeah, that works.
Gotcha.
Right. Nick Gage definitely being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I was thinking, though, is like, maybe this is like also, maybe this was always intended to be like a last hurrah for Nick Gage. And he's mm-hmm. going to, you know, wrestle his last GCW match against his old buddy, John. Mm-hmm. And John Moxley retires Nick Gage. And if that's the way it goes, then it's Joey Janela's title.
Yes.
That's like, because he's the only one that I can think of that hasn't got the match with Moxley yet that's like mm-hmm. at the top of the GCW card always.
Yeah, if it's not Gage, it has to be. I said I made a list before everything. I've mm-hmm. done it all. Number one, every single time, Joey Janela. The person, this is like GCW. When I think of GCW, I think of Joey Janela more than I think of Nick Gage, which probably sounds crazy to people. Like, he is that brand as fuck. Nick Gage is hella too, but you like Joey Janela is just more active and more, you know, it's different. But yeah, Joey Janela needs to be, if Nick Gage wins from Moxley, he needs to lose it to Joey Janela. Like, that's what needs to go on here. Like, Joey Janela needs to be carrying the flag, mm-hmm. that championship, defending it. All these shows need to be headlined by Joey Janela as the GCW World Champion, just because he is that brand. And the way to build it, the way to continue doing what they're doing right now is with Joey Janela as the World Champion. So that's where it needs to lead to. I don't know if him winning last night changes anything. It shouldn't. I hope it doesn't. Like, I don't think Moxley wouldn't let it. He'd totally be like, I have this one thing with Nikki, you guys. I gotta lose it to Nikki.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Moxley's a great guy. So, of course, he would, you know, he wants to do that.
Definitely does call him Nikki, too.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of that, like, the Dark Side of the Ring, where he's like describing that match, like, Nikki, you can't do that. And Nick Gage is like, kind of fucking do the, pizza cutter in his mouth.
Oh man, it was so funny. I got this new streaming service up here. It's like just Canadian television streaming service. It's like our Hulu basically. It's mm-hmm. got like HBO Max and shit on it. So, and I saw the Dark Side of the Ring was on that. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna rewatch like all of this because why not?
Mm-hmm.
And but I started backwards. So I started with the end of season 3 and worked my way back. And I happened to be watching the Nick Gage episode, and my wife came up here to hit the bong with me. And she's sitting in my chair here, and I'm laying in bed and watching it. And she is not a big wrestling fan at all. She's, like, no interest in watching it. She mm-hmm. knows who some wrestlers are because, like, I talk about it so much that she just has happened to absorb some information.
Right.
But and bless her too, because she'll just nod and smile, listen to me talk my shit, even though mm-hmm. she gives zero fucks about what's coming out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But and she's really squeamish, and she happens to come in to smoke with me like when the Nick Gage episode's
on. Oh no!
And it's showing him like almost bleeding to death, mm-hmm. and Moxley talking about him like pizza cuttering his tongue and shit. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, is wrong
now, if
you?
I didn't watch wrestling and I saw the thing with the blood squirting out of his arm, like I'd be what, dude, what are you watching? This is crazy right here. And like, no, this isn't a movie. That's real. That really happened. That guy almost died. We would have watched mm-hmm. it on camera.
He was dead for 7 minutes apparently. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, I'm like, I'm trying to give her context and she's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. Get out all the context you want. It's not gonna help.
Yeah, she's like, there's no, and the other thing I've had the hardest time explaining to her is scissor me daddy ass.
Oh yeah, that's
because she's just like, what the fuck is that about, bro?
There's some wrestling things that are unexplainable, like no matter how hard you try to break it down, it's still like, yeah,
because like, well, and for that one too, it's like, oh, I gotta explain to her who, like, why that Billy Gunn used to be Mr. Ass back in 1998, and then like
I'm already out. I can't.
Like, yeah, and she's like, okay, that's already fucking stupid. And then I'm like, yeah, but see, now he's got this tag team. Now he was in this group with his sons, and she's like, Mr. Ass and his sons. Oh, this is fucking weird, Mike. Okay, what's the fuck? Like, you're not making this sound better. And I'm like, right. No, like So that one,
I would agree.
Yeah, it's not going to be good when I get the shirt.
Not the one. Not the one.
Mm-hmm. I might have to skip that shirt.
I would think so.
Yeah. I can't even remember what we were talking about now.
I don't know. We went off on a tangent for sure. Oh, GCW, yeah. Moxley.
Joey Janela. Joey Janela. Okay.
Joey Janela.
Like, yeah, him getting that belt, like, it for me,
I had a couple picks. I had Joey Janela. I think Effie could also. Mm-hmm. I think if Effie, given the world championship, could make it work. I think the brand of what he does and how he always goes viral with whatever he does could really work. And just like a heart and soul pick, like either Jimmy Lloyd, like if Jimmy Lloyd just happened to be the champion for a couple months, like how fun would, like, how excited would we all be if, or, you know, exactly one of those heart and soul picks, Jimmy Lloyd, Tony Deppen, Jordan Oliver, even like somebody that's been there at every single GCW show. Their matches always hit. They're the heart and soul of this company. Just give them a little run with it. Have us just, you know, some exciting, some heartwarming things. I mean, I totally understand it's not against Mox at all, but like, he's the AEW world champion. He does not need to be the GCW world. He has a championship.
which makes me like him being their champion more, because like, I'm sure if he didn't want it, he'd just be like, it's okay.
Yeah, no, he totally wouldn't take it if he did it. But that, I mean, that is also amazing to think about. Like, the number two promotion in the entire world, he's their champion. He's still the biggest independent wrestling company in the world's world champion also.
Yeah, he's like, I would still like to do some matches with light tubes and shit.
Mm-hmm. And he wants to often.
Yeah, it's crazy. I love it. Yeah. I will say, though, like, the last few shows that they've had with having the world title defended, like every single one you've named already a bunch of the people in, but he had the match against Tony Deppen, and that match was so fucking back and forth.
That match was awesome.
I was ready to shed tears for Tony Deppen winning it. He's my favorite wrestler, and I would actually fucking have done it.
People were behind him. If he would have won, no one would have been mad. Like, everybody in the crowd would have. And they hate Tony Deppen, you know what I mean? Quote, unquote. But everyone would have been excited for him.
I normally try to just keep it totally positive online and only tweet about shit that I'm liking and generally not tweet about shit that I dislike. I just keep my mouth shut on it entirely. And I actually angrily tweeted about Tony Deppen losing that match. Because I was like, no, like, fuck, you robbed this man. But then Blake Christian after that.
I thought Blake was going to win it. I thought Effie could win it too.
Right. So they've had, like, everyone who has challenged for it recently has been, like, a believable GCW OG. Because, again, like, and if you're like, oh, Blake Christian's only been there since he got released from NXT, he was also there for a fucking hella long time before he got signed there, too.
Yeah. So now he's GCW. He definitely is a part of that heart and soul thing for sure.
But yeah, so like, I'm like, oh man, Tony can win this. And then he didn't. I was like, fuck. Oh, well, Blake Christian will probably win it then. And then Blake Christian, I was like, Blake Christian's going to win this match. And then he doesn't win it. I'm like, wow. All right. And then they announced Effie, and I'm like, oh, that's why that, like, yeah, Effie at homecoming of all places for sure. And then and everyone kind of was like, whoa, okay, what the fuck now? But knowing, okay, so now we got title versus career. And you know what the thing is? Now, because of how many times they've already, like, hoodwinked me on a believable title contender not winning, I'm very well under the impression that Nick Gage is, like, I have no doubt that this could be Nick Gage's last match.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
I believe it. But also, like, if Nick Gage wins, I'm not going to be, like, surprised. Also would make sense. This is one of the ones where it's, like, flip a coin and, like, both sides of the coin are the happy result. Like, there's no bad side of the coin here.
For what I've been pitching, though, for a year and plus now, I just need Nick Gage to get the victory. That's it. That's all. I've got to get the belt off Mox. I love Mox. He's done an amazing thing. All the reasons that he is GCW champion are positive. I agree. But I just, as someone who watches GCW consistently, and I think just for the brand, I think they need that world championship to be defended more often than it is.
I still think Joey is the one.
Joey's the one, though. That's where we're landing on this.
That's why I'm like, oh, you know, maybe it is Nick Gage's last match.
Because Joey, like you said, Joey hasn't had the big Mox match. Like, Joey is the one.
Yeah, he still hasn't got the one. Like, the other thing, too, is, like, earlier this year, and again, long-term storytelling in independent wrestling is
rare.
Hit and miss and rare. But his whole big thing when he turned on X-Pac at the beginning of the year was, I want my fucking flowers. And I think that Joey Janela winning the world title, if he's the one who, especially if he's the one who, like, finally topples Mox after Mox goes through Deppen, Blake Christian, Effie, mm-hmm. retires Nick Gage, mm-hmm. for Joey Janela to finally be, take it off of Moxley, that would be like...
Okay, I like it. I'm in.
You give him the whole garden at that point.
Right.
Like, holy
right.
fuck.
Okay, I like this. Sorry, Nick Gage. I love you. We love you. But yeah, that might be the story to be told. Unless Nick Gage is like ready to go, because Nick Gage has said, you're going to have to kill me to get me out this bitch. Well, so
I don't think he's putting all that work in with Jordan Oliver for nothing.
I'm saying he's trying. Like, I don't think he's doing all that for one match.
Like that's why I was like, yeah, that's why for me, I'm like, it'd be weird to like spend all this time in the gym to do one match. Unless you're like looking for like that, you know, you want your last match to be your best match. Then like, maybe you do the work for it, but like, oh, that's like, I'm going to wrestle regularly kind of work. It seems.
Right. Yeah. No, he's looking like he's looking mm-hmm. good, man. Nick Gage is going for it. I'm excited about it. So we're excited about October 8th. There's a lot of opportunities. We've talked about everything that could happen. Anything could happen. If Mox wins again, I wouldn't be surprised. Mox wins, LOL. That's a thing. People are trying to adopt that it's a thing, but it's not. You guys, stop it.
Who else is on that card anyway? That's it's a pretty wild one.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it? Fight Club.
That's back in New Jersey, right?
It's a 2-day show too.
Oh shit!
I thought it was only one day last year.
Mm.
So yeah, day one they've got Shun Skywalker versus Nick Wayne. Ally Catch versus Sawyer Wreck. Yamato from Dragon Gate taking on my favorite wrestler Tony Deppen.
Wow, that's gonna go crazy.
GCW tag title match. That's most certainly going to be a death match. The Mega Bastards, Alex Colon and John Wayne Murdoch, taking on Rina Yamashita and Drew Parker. And then
a lot of blood. A lot
John Moxley versus Nick Gage is on night one.
Ooh, that's interesting.
They have JCW the next day. So far, there's only two matches announced for that. We've got the long-awaited rematch of a legitimately could have turned out to be a death match of Hoodfoot versus Slade.
Real-life death match.
They're running that back.
Not the kind that we like, though.
No. And then also, this one sent me off the rails when I saw it. John Gresham versus Alec Price.
Jonathan Gresham? Former Ring of Honor World Champ, number 10 on the PWI 500.
Yes, number 10 on the PWI 500. Jonathan God.
Number 5 on the BW 500. It's crazy out here. Wow.
Yeah.
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
And then the day two of GCW Fight Club, we have Rina Yamashita defending the ultraviolent title against Ciclope. Ciclope's tag team partner, Miedo Extremo, is having a death match with Drew Parker. Shun Skywalker taking on Blake Christian and Yamato versus Mike Bailey.
Oh my God.
That weekend's just crazy. And then also,
Yamato and Speedball Mike Bailey, my heart. Holy shit. Jeez Louise. They're going crazy. Mike Bailey's going to add on. Keeping the year's not over. He's like, yo, the year's not done, man. I got a bunch more for you guys. I'm not finished here. I'm still going to hit you every single weekend. Banger after banger. Yo, 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 yo.
Mike Bailey's just like, hey, well, you know, the next year's review period has started already. So let's just keep getting it in.
Ridiculous. What a guy. Incredibly talented person.
But also, speaking of upcoming shows, Prestige has Talk Is Cheap coming up on the 25th. That is this weekend. Davey Richards versus Sonico. Ethan HD taking on everyone's favorite new wrestling podcaster, Bobby Fish.
Ooh. Shout out to Ethan HD. That's the homie.
Yep. Yep. Alex Zane back in action against Jaden. That's going
to
be
sweet. Shout out to Jaden, too. Superhero. That's the homie, too.
They also have Roseland 4 coming up soon, and their Roseland events are like...
They're hot.
They're crazy every time. This one, we've got Dragon Gate in the house for it. So, non-Dragon Gate talent, but we have Black Tarus versus Sonico happening on this card.
Wow.
Deonna Purrazzo is taking on Jungle Kiona.
Damn.
And then our some of our Dragon Gate talent, Kevin Blackwood versus SB Kento.
Oh, that's a banger right there. Super duper. Shout out to Kev.
The prestige title on the line, Alex Shelley versus Yamato.
Yamato is going to go nuts in all these matches. Oh, my God. I'm so excited about this run he's about to have. I thought they were going to announce him for West Coast Pro, and I was like, come on, Yamato's going to be here, but they never did. So
he'll probably be in King of Indies.
That's what I thought. I'm still waiting on the announcement. Maybe they're just waiting to announce it. They haven't announced everyone yet.
Yeah, maybe he'll be like one of the like big names.
I hope so. I really hope so.
It'd be crazy to have all this. It'd be crazy having all these Dragon Gate people out here and then like
not have Yamato
somehow don't get Yamato. Like, because he's already over here doing a bunch of other shows. So it's like, unless it's
got to get Yamato.
Unless there's a conflict of dates. I wonder. I gotta look into that.
That's true. He's pretty booked up.
But man, that was a crazy week. There's a bunch of crazy weeks coming up. Like I said, next week, we've got Robert Martyr, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Monday. I'll be talking with him all about his crazy year in professional wrestling. And next week on Thursday, talking about Black Label Pro's TurboGrafx 24. It's a 2-day tournament, or it's like a 2-show tournament. So don't expect us to talk about much else. That's going to be a lot.
That's going to cover the whole show for sure.
Yeah. And in the meantime, where can everyone find you at, Reg?
Of course, you can find me every Saturday morning, Graph City Podcast, YouTube, Fightful Network. We're super excited about everything. Ask Graph City happens every other week. That'll be back next week. RighteousDredge.bandcamp.com. Pre-order AEW Fight Forever because the super cool, super dope soundtrack features songs from your boy, Righteous Reg. You can hear my voice when you turn that song. When you turn the video game on, you're picking CM Punk, you're picking Kenny Omega, you're picking the Young Bucks. You're going to hear Brick Phone on that bad boy. So pre-order AEW Fight Forever right now because that's cool, and I can't believe that. That's my life, and I just don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah, and if you really fuck with the song, go to righteousreg.bandcamp.com and buy it.
That's even better, Mike. That's how you say it. That's how you do it.
Yeah. I meant to bring it up earlier too, and then I just forgot to mention it. But like, yes, congratulations, Reg. I'm so happy for you, dude. Like that. Some of my favorite things are being like proud of my friends.
Right.
That's an accomplishment. I love it.
People don't understand, like, that's a thing, because there's a lot of haters in the world, Mike, they don't understand, but, like, when your friends win, that is cool, man. You see your friends win, you're like, damn, that's awesome, man. Like, that's cool. Yeah. And that's how it's been, like, ever since the video got it up, because the video came, the dude tweeted the video while we were doing Grapsity, so, like, right when we're done and whatever, I'm like, have you guys seen this? And then, like, everyone just started going crazy.
Yeah.
It's been nothing but congratulations and people being super nice about it. It's a dream come true. I didn't even know that. I guess I kind of had this dream of having a song in a wrestling game, but not, you know, it doesn't seem like feasible. You have to be like assigned artist to do this shit, but no, you do not. You can like do your thing and be there.
Brick Phone slaps too. So
that's all I'm saying. That's where it really comes down to, baby.
Hell yeah. Find me here every Thursday talking about independent wrestling with Reg.
With me.
God damn it. I got a new camera, so the sides are different now. Everything's it's all every Thursday here, 6 o'clock, sometimes 5, like today. But talking about independent wrestling with Reg every Saturday, All Elite Weekly with my homie Adam, recapping each and every week in AEW, which thank you for your support on that. That show has been surprisingly popular for a brand new show, and
awesome,
kind of caught me off guard. So appreciate the good feedback on that. Cassidy and I sometimes do Game Changer Weekly. We were supposed to do it this week, but my back's really fucked up this week and I couldn't do it. But you know, that happens. I do a bunch of live tweeting off of the Body Slam Twitter account, which you can find right below Reg's wonderful face, at bodyslam.net, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, Body Slam Net Pro Wrestling on YouTube. Please subscribe. If you like us, send some support. Send us a slam chat, slamchats.com. Find me on Twitter at my handle there. That's about it. And thanks for hanging out with us, spending your Thursday night talking about independent wrestling.
Appreciate y'all.
We'll see you next week.